He's the opinionated Ottawa icon.
Wake Up with Rob Snow returns on City News 101.1.
He is the leader of the official opposition, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, and the member of Parliament for the riding of Carleton, Pierre Poilievre, joins me this morning on City News. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Well, it's the end of the House of Commons session, and it ends, Mr. Poilievre, with no plans right now for a public inquiry into foreign interference. The Liberals said yesterday talks with the opposition parties, like yours, are ongoing. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think there's really going to be a public inquiry into foreign interference?
We hope to find out today. There are meetings between the parties happening later this morning. The government says it's interested in working with the opposition on finding some way to investigate the interference by Beijing that helped the Liberals in multiple elections. I've told them we're happy to cooperate in suggesting nonpartisan names, including former judges and top intelligence personnel who've been approved of and appointed by both parties at various times, and also in defining a mandate that will help us get to the truth while protecting national security. So we stand ready. We want an end to Beijing's interference in our democracy. Canadians should choose their government, not a foreign dictatorship. We need to bring home control of our democracy, and we're prepared to put aside any partisan differences to make that happen.
Okay. I want to ask you a follow-up question very much on the same topic, though. I mean, the reason Canadians know so much about this and have learned so much about this is because of news reports in the media, in sources from sources like Global News, from sources like the Globe and Mail. Mr. Trudeau's national security advisor, Jody Thomas, is quoted in the news media this morning as saying, "The whistleblowers, my words, not hers, the whistleblowers who have leaked these national security details to news media outlets should be identified and they should be prosecuted because they broke the law." What is your reaction to that news, Mr. Poilievre?
Well, this is the Trudeau way. He wants to punish the whistleblower rather than punish it the wrongdoing. It seems like Trudeau is not so much worried that Beijing is interfering in our democracy to tip the scales in his favor, as he is worried that people are finding out about it. It's like he wanted to keep it all secret. He's known about this for about 10 years. That's when Beijing gave $140,000 to the Trudeau Foundation to buy Trudeau's love and loyalty. They interfered in at least two elections, both times to help Trudeau by flooding Chinese-based social media with falsehoods and disinformation against conservatives by providing resources to mostly liberal candidates. He's known about this for years. He literally did nothing to stop it. And now he's angry. It seems his most biggest problem is that people are finding out. My view is as Ceesus has said, the sunlight is the best disinfectant. Let's get to the truth. Transparency will protect both our national security and our democracy. And that's what we want through a full, independent, and nonpartisan public inquiry.
Okay, I want to turn our attention to another issue, and it's the biggest issue in the country. Poll after poll shows that Canadians' number one concern is the rising cost of living. Housing, rent, mortgages, gas, groceries, the very basics. The average one-bedroom apartment in Ottawa, I asked our producer this morning, what's that number? $2,000 a month. Now, the average home in Ottawa, $800,000. Five-year fixed mortgage rate. Bank of Canada this morning, a little more than 6%. Very tough. Very expensive for a lot of people. But what can a government do? Say a conservative government instead of a liberal government. What can a government do to make housing more affordable?
Well, mostly it's what government needs to stop doing. Government and government alone is the reason why housing is so expensive. And there are two parts to that, supply and demand. Let's start with supply. Canada has the fewest houses per capita in the G7 even though we had the most land to build on. Since 2016, the per capita number of homes in Canada has been in decline. That's because our population is growing faster than the number of houses we're building. And to show you how crazy it is, the standard price for a house in the States is about half what it is in Canada, even though they have 10 times the people to house on a smaller landmass. So why do we have so few houses? Government gatekeepers prevent construction. The cost of getting permits and approvals to build a house is now more than $1 million per home in Vancouver. It's about $350,000 per home in Toronto, according to the CD Howe Institute.
Yeah, I think in Ottawa, it's about 120 grand or something like that in Ottawa, I believe.
That could be right.
Yeah.
And then you think of all the restrictions of where to build that limit land supply. We have the second biggest supply of land in the world. Housing should be dirt cheap. We have the most dirt, after all.
Well, we got a lot of dirt in Ottawa, that's for sure.
How do we solve it?
Right.
How do we solve it?
Yeah.
We need to incentivize the cities to speed up and lower the cost of building permits. And
so how do you do that?
I'll tell you, my plan is to require big cities to permit a 15% increase in housing completions every year or lose some of their infrastructure money from the federal government. Those that exceed the 15% target will get a building bonus from the Polyev government. I'll require every federally funded transit station be surrounded by high-density apartments. I will also sell off 6,000 federal buildings, 15% of the federal buildings. We have a massive vacancy rate in these federal buildings. We can sell them off and turn them into housing. So that's how we're going to get more supply. And then the other thing we need to do is bring down the mortgage rates. Now, government doesn't set the rates. The Bank of Canada does. However, the deficits that the Trudeau government is running are driving up inflation, which forces the Bank of Canada to increase interest rates. So I will balance the budget to bring down interest rates and inflation.
Okay. I want to talk about how you would approach the scourge of drug addiction, the opioid crisis. Here in Ottawa, we have I looked this up this morning, a needle and syringe program that's been operating since 1991. I don't know if you know this. We have a mobile harm reduction van operates every night in the city of Ottawa. Seven nights a week, they'll deliver clean needles right to your door. 4 supervised consumption sites, 4 harm reduction dispensing units. They're basically vending machines with needles in them scattered throughout the city. So this is the Liberal approach. They swear by it. They think you're cruel for even questioning it. How would your approach differ from the harm reduction strategy that we have seen under this government?
Well, first of all, let's just look at the evidence. Since Trudeau got in and started giving out taxpayer-funded so-called safe supply of drugs, overdoses are up by over 200% nationwide. We've lost over 30,000 people in that time to drug overdoses. This spike in overdoses has corresponded with the so-called safe supply policy and the decriminalization that he has authorized British Columbia to implement. Where the so-called safe supply policies have most been enthusiastically embraced is where we have subsequently seen massive increases in overdose deaths. So the theory that if you give people hydromorphone, because it's non-contaminated, that they will then use that and no longer use hard and use contaminated drugs and die, that theory is proven false by the facts. What's actually happening is that hydromorphone, which by itself is stronger than heroin, is being resold by the addicts who receive it so that they can use the profits to buy dangerous fentanyl. And then they get other people hooked by selling the hydromorphone into the market, including children. And we know this from British Columbia. There are cases now of children getting hooked on hydromorphone because addicts sell it to them. That is drugs given by the government of Canada that it's ultimately handing up in the hands of kids. I'll end that, and I'll take the savings and put it into recovery and treatment. I think of the Oak Center in Winnipeg, where Scott Oak, a former radio broadcaster, lost his son to an overdose. He created this beautiful center for drug addicts to come clean themselves up, get into an exercise program, have counseling, sweat lodges for First Nations people, get their lives back together, and then they're building apartments attached to the treatment center so that those that come out of treatment can live nearby, help until they're fully on their feet and back into good habits and a good life. Only recovery will bring our loved ones home drug-free and end this horrific drug crisis.
All right, just a few more quick questions. On the news media, you've been very critical with some members of the news media, and you've been very, very hard on the CBC. I mean, you say you would defund the CBC. Are you being serious when you say that you would defund the CBC?
CBC television now has 4% of the viewing audience. That's 4% of the people who still watch TV, Rob. So we're paying $1 billion for this organization, and its TV is almost not seen by anyone. Then you have the digital platform, which is competing with the private sector, providing the very same product the private sector already provides. I understand the idea of providing some support for things that the marketplace can't provide. You know, some coverage in rural and remote communities where they just don't have enough economy of scale or minority language. But to keep paying for something that A, nobody watches, or B, that the private sector already provides, in a time we have record government debt, driving inflation, where people can't afford to eat, heat or house themselves is irrational. So I will be eliminating waste in government in general, and that includes defunding the CBC to save money.
All right. So we've heard from Doug Ford what he thinks of Olivia Chow as mayor of Toronto. I have to ask you, how does this strike you, Pierre Poilievre? Toronto Mayor Olivia Chow.
It's bonkers. We've seen what happens when you put Liberal NDP mayors in charge of cities. Look at what happened to Vancouver under their NDP mayor. It downtown East Side turned into a living hell with tent cities everywhere. Housing prices became the third most expensive in the entire world because the council wouldn't let any new building go ahead. Taxes gone through the roof. That's what happens when you put a Liberal or an NDP mayor in power. They raise taxes. They cut police budgets. They allow crime to run rampant. They flood the city with taxpayer-funded drugs, and all the law-abiding, hardworking, tax-paying people pay the price. So I encourage Torontonians to vote for someone who will support the police, keep taxes low, and get out of the way so builders can build affordable homes.
Okay. Enjoy your summer. I'm sure it'll be a busy one for you. Thank you for your time this morning, Mr. Poilievre.
Thank you very much, Rob, and let's axe the carbon tax.
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservative Party, leader of the official opposition. 8:30, time for the latest breaking news. Here's Andrew Boyle.
Well, thank you, Rob, and good morning. We see the return of bicycle sharing in Ottawa. That's a possibility today, at least at the committee stage. With the details, here's City News reporter Chris Curries.
City Councillor Sean Menard taking another crack at instituting a bike-sharing model in the capital after an earlier attempt failed 2 years ago. The difference this time, according to Bike Ottawa's Dave Robertson, is that it would not be for profit.
It is funny.